As a homeowner, I can't help myself. I'm always thinking about fixing this and changing that. For the money, for the beauty, for the knowledge and the peace of mind. It's about time for the Love My Renovation Project with Mike Young.
The 203K is a team sport. The title sounds a little odd on the surface, but if you'll analyze it with me for a minute, I think that you'll agree and understand what I'm talking about. Usually we think of team sports as baseball, football, hockey, soccer, and volleyball as examples. What could these team sports possibly have in common with the 203K? Good question. Let me explain. All of these team sports have rules and players that compete for each game. In the sport of the 203K, we have lots of games, and our season is continuous. You can sit on the sideline and wait for someone to call you, or you can practice and work out some special plays with some of your teammates. The field is wide open to you and your team. The big difference between the 203K and other team sports is that everyone wins with the 203K. There are no losers. If there are any losers, it has to be those people who choose not to play at all. The top players in team sports usually get paid the big bucks. That's true in this business and in any other business. Team players are just that. That means they pass the ball and know when to pass the ball to other players. As long as everybody wins, does it matter who gets the glory? It's so important to let the team members function in their respective capacities without undue pressure. Let the team work for you. Each team will have at least one of the following members: a lender or broker, a consultant, an appraiser, a real estate professional, that includes agents and brokers, and an investor. In addition, the secondary is made up of contractors, pest control companies, title or escrow company, and lots of home buyers. Not too long ago, I did a consulting job. It was scheduled at about 3 p.m., and it usually takes 2 to 3 hours to complete the inspection. In this case, a half an hour to return to my office. I had asked the lender, who was new to the 203K, to concentrate on the 203B aspects of this project, and that I would be back to her in less than 2 weeks with completed architectural exhibits. Well, when I arrived back at my office that evening, that lender had a message to please call her. Well, I couldn't imagine why she would call me then. Maybe it was a problem that had come up, and, well, I tried to call her back. She was out, so I didn't really want to start writing in case something was being canceled. So I left a message. The next morning, I went out on another project, and then when I returned to the office at noon to find another message from the first lender, I called. She was out to lunch. I left another message and had lunch myself. Later that afternoon, we hooked up to find out that all she wanted to know was, how did the inspection go? When can I get my paperwork? Well, remember, I'd already told her you'd get it in 2 weeks, or about 2 weeks. Now I had to call her and tell her that I was planning to start writing the report last night, but your vague message the day of the inspection caused me to back off in case there was something wrong. You know, it's so important to let your teammates have some room to function. As long as I was in my 2-week period, she shouldn't have called at all. It actually delayed and changed my plan slightly. And it was a little frustrating. It's always frustrating to a good team player. I had asked her then if she had all her VOEs and VOIs, you know, the verifications of employment and verifications of income back. Had she got her completed application reviewed, and had she gathered the tax returns she needed, all the necessary bank statements. And she got a little indignant with me. I know my job. Don't tell me how to do my job. Well, I told her I know my job too. And yet you're calling to ask me how my job's going? I thought maybe this is the way you want it to work. You ask me about mine and what I'm doing, and I'll call you and ask you if you're getting all yours done. And Well, the fact is that we both know what our jobs are and how to do them in a timely manner. If the lender is going to start calling the consultant every day, you can add another 30 to 60 days to the close of escrow. It's not only not necessary, it's frustrating, and if the lender is calling asking questions, or if the team members are calling too soon to check on things, it'd be like a basketball player intentionally stepping into a slot where he expected the ball handler to be in 2 seconds. It disrupts the play. It's like asking Michael Jordan, after passing him the ball, what are you going to do with it? By the time he hesitates to tell you, he's lost the momentum of that play. My goal was to write that evening and start putting this thing together. I wanted to really impress this new lender with a project that was turned in record time. But the vague message left caused doubt and delay. The next day I found out it was nothing at all, but then I was too busy on another project to stop and get back onto theirs. It was 2 days later when I was able to start writing that report that I could have had finished the first night. Oh, we still got it out in 10 days. That's not the problem. But the magic of the moment and the fun that I was going to have with a new record for turning one of these things in a speedy time was gone. When you're looking for lenders, you know, some brokers may actually be tuned into the program better than some direct lenders. Some mortgage brokers. So don't discount someone just because they're a broker. Some of two of the largest people that I know in this business are actually brokers. But you must clarify that they're approved to do FHA guaranteed loans. And if you're looking for a lender, you want to be sure that they've done a 203K before. And if they haven't, that's okay as long as they're working with a seasoned team. But if they've never done a 203K before and they're just getting off on it and they haven't yet worked with a team or set a team up, I would ensure or make sure that they do get a team together and try somebody else to get your first one out of the way. What you're looking for is a lender who's typically closed at least 10 or 20 of these things. Ask them what their typical closing time. If they say 28 to 35 days, then right away you know they're using a team. If they say 35 to 40 days and you like them, you might choose to go ahead. They're still learning. They're still getting it together. But if they say anything greater than 40 days, they're not using teams. Or they're fighting with their teams within the teams. Teams, in all of your positive attitude or motivational tapes, you've heard us say that you must be with people who think like you do and want to get ahead. So find your teams, get with people that are movers and shakers and stick with them. Use the team and let the team work for you. That means that each team member should concentrate on their own aspect of this joint effort for the benefit of all involved. It works, but you have to have the confidence in your teammates and their abilities to let it happen. And it will happen. Each one of the team members may shine in their own right as individuals in their field, but it's usually due to the efforts of the rest of the team passing them the ball at the right time and taking it back when it's passed back to them. So they've got to be moving around and getting in position to take it back and so forth. And a well-run team can't be beat. A 203K, remember, is a 203B plus what the consultant does. Since this is true, the lender should concentrate on the 203B portion of the loan. The consultant then starts putting the architectural exhibits together. If you have a team that works well together, it's like a fine-tuned machine. The lender lets the consultant know who the appraiser will be early in the game, so the consultant can pass the ball to the right person when it's time to do so. I like to get the information to the appraiser up front whenever possible because it gives the appraiser 2 weeks advance notice. This allows plenty of time to pull comps, schedule the inspection, and get the work done. Appraisers typically only get a few days notice before a lender needs an appraisal back, so getting a week or two notice is really a blessing to an appraiser. Quite often, the appraiser will make the inspection when the consultant makes his inspection. If you start this practice to save time, be sure your appraiser teammate understands that if the deal should fall apart prior to the lender receiving the completed architectural exhibits and ordering the case number, then he will get no pay for the time expended up to that point. Any work completed will be the appraiser's experience and education, but without pay. I've only seen one deal fall apart on the appraiser, and it was put back together a few weeks later with a different buyer. at no loss to the appraiser whatsoever, except a few weeks for his time. You know, instead of getting paid on one day, he got paid 2 weeks, 3 weeks later, when the deal put back together. Let's talk about an advertising technique that really works and is probably the reason we helped save this deal. Always, yes, always leave your business card at a home or building inspection site so visitors to that site know you've been there. These cards are collected by the selling agent, and it's important that the selling agent has this information. The selling agent also knows if and or when the deal fell apart, and that you have been there as a consultant. If another deal is put back together, the selling agent knows if they call you, most of the work is complete, and the new deal might close sooner than if they had a different consultant hired. The selling agent always knows that the appraiser has been out and measured the building, if they have left a card. If the appraiser comes out prior to the case number and the 92-800 being issued, another inspection of the premises must be made after the 92-800 has been issued to be sure that nothing has changed and the building is still there. The 92-800 is merely the name of the order blank for the FHA order. Some appraisers I work with get all of their comp work completed, and then they look at the subject property after they get the order. This way they have all of the architectural exhibits and know exactly what's going on with regards to the upgrades on the building before they actually start writing the report. Others will start writing the report sooner, and by the time they see the subject property, it's nearly finished. The appraiser will be determining the after-improved value. That is, the value that the loan will be based upon. The value after all the improvements are made. Of course, you'll need to put an as-is value in there, too. But the primary function of this appraisal is to arrive at an after-improved value. The real estate professional includes brokers and agents. The real estate agent will be getting two commissions on every deal if they work with investors as we recommend. Who in their right mind would refuse two commissions on every deal if it's legal with full disclosure? Nobody. The first commission is paid when they find the fixer for the investor, and the second commission comes when they sell the property for the investor. The sales price will be based on the actual appraisal of the after-improved value, which relieves some of the anxiety that real estate professionals might have when they're trying to decide how much to sell a certain property for. They will actually have an appraisal in their hand. It'll tell them exactly what it'll sell for, and they can base their list price on that number. Special note to brokers and agents. There are those at HUD and FHA that believe the 203K will be bigger than the 203B by the year 2000. Maybe you should be using it on every FHA loan you currently do. Have you ever been sued for something on a home that you sold that had a problem that you maybe didn't know about? Of course, this only happens to other agents, not you. Why wouldn't you want every home you sold to have new carpeting, fresh paint inside and out, maybe a new roof if the old one is approaching the end of its useful life? It doesn't make sense, does it? This tactic alone would allow you to sell a home, duplex, triplex, or a fourplex, in better condition than you would have been able to otherwise. You would have less chance of anything going wrong, and in turn, less chance of being sued. This loan product can reduce your exposure, and that is reason enough to use it. Investors will help your home buyers get into these properties and facilitate the process. In the case of a first-time home buyer, an investor can actually take a second trust deed back on the property, provided he or she carries it for at least 5 years before any balloon payment can come due. Is there anything wrong with carrying it the same term and at the same interest rate as the first deed of trust? If I had $100,000 in seasoned seconds, I would receive about $300,000 on them over a 30-year period. Not too shabby. And the new home buyer would have a better chance of paying it off if I made it a little easier to swallow like that. Investors can also facilitate regular or non-first-time home buyers to purchase a home by being willing to pay some points and other allowable fees and costs in order to keep their down payment as low as possible. In the second line of defense, our team will have some additional players, such as contractors. Contractors You always want to have a good list of contractors. If you ever expect to recommend a contractor to a buyer, be prepared to be sued at some time in the future, unless you do it right. See your attorney for proper disclaimers. But we've got a list of contractors that we provide, and at the head of that list is a statement something like this. This list of contractors has been provided as a courtesy to you only. Choose from the phone book, this list, or from any other list that you want. These contractors have worked well on other 203K or rehab projects at some time in the past. We make no representations as to their future performance. You should contact the ones of your choice and interview them prior to hiring them or any other contractors that you might choose. We recommend having three of them bid your project. You should always interview the contractor and get references prior to hiring one. If you put a disclaimer in there, you're less likely to be sued. And if someone sues you, it might be considered a frivolous lawsuit. Now, attention to contractors. If there's any contractors listening to this, pay special attention here. This is a note just for you. How would you like to be paid for putting your bid together? When's the last time you were paid to put a bid together? How about never? If you can put the architectural exhibits together, and you can, then you could be paid for it. A bid package is included, and you can't be the inspector that authorizes your own draws. Give it a try. You may find that it's an extra source of money, and in lean times when you're doing a lot of bidding, if you're bidding 203Ks and actually putting the architectural exhibits together, so all it has to have is a plan review, you're earning money. If you don't get any work at all, you're earning money for putting the bid together. Okay, pest control companies. You should always have a pest control company or two on your team. It's always a good idea to have a couple of good pest control companies to work with. Sometimes one might be busy and you could call the other. We see some interesting reports from time to time, and some of them are quite good. On the other hand, we've seen some pretty poor reports where they might call out $175 or $500 worth of work, and when you walk in, you're falling through the hole in the floor, which they didn't get because of the dry rot. And you get over to the windowsill, and you can see half the window's gone, but they didn't write it down. Now, this is not typical, but there are some termite companies out there that are really making some big mistakes. Your consultant still should catch those errors. And there's a lot of lenders out there that say, well, look, the pest control is only $200, for instance. How did you come up with $50,000 from the consultant's report? The answer is the pest control company missed a lot of dry rot. Okay, so that happens. So be prepared for it. This concludes the program on this side of the tape. Please fast forward to the end and continue with 203K as a team sport on side two. You need a good title or escrow company. That's always an asset. In some states, attorneys perform some of those duties, so you'll have to check with your state to see what applies in your situation. But garbage fees are typically not charged to investors or other preferred clients. Be sure to identify yourself as an investor and request no garbage fees, please. This will save you about $500 a deal. You don't have to know what they are, by the way. So many people walk into the title company and they say, oh, gee whiz, what are garbage fees? Not the right thing to say. Walk in, say, hi, I'm an investor. I plan to buy several properties this year. We'd like you to be our title company, but we don't want to be charged any garbage fees. And you'll find that they will deduct certain fees off there that are typically charged to other non-preferred customers. Lots of home buyers are needed. They're a crucial part of this team. They will actually take you or take your investor out of the property after it's all fixed up. These can come from real estate professionals, like your agents and brokers, but they can also come from other sources. Investors who help a family get into a home should offer that buyer an incentive to tell their friends. They may have a lot of friends that are willing to move into the similar area that will buy in the same way. I actually like to give them a healthy kickback if they do have two friends buy homes for me. I give them their second back. Give them the second deed of trust that you carried back. merely by sending two friends that actually buy houses from you. Another place to find them is at companies who do credit repair. Quite often, they have a steady list of newly qualified buyers. Now, typically, the lender will take 28 to 35 days to close a standard 203B loan. If the consultant takes 2 weeks to do his job and the appraiser takes another day or two, we still have no reason to take any longer than 28 to 35 days to close this loan. Is there anything wrong with that? No. If you let the team function. Now, marketing your 203K. Another aspect of teamwork can be an asset to this entire system. When you're marketing the 203K through seminars, the team can actually share the expense of the renting the hall, share in the responsibility of conducting portions of the seminar. These two-hour seminars are usually much more interesting if there's more than one speaker. I like to have another team member deliver the basic portion of the seminar, and then I come in for the escrow commitment and the close. Investor seminars should start right on time. If you're going to have a seminar, start it on time. I see so many times people have their investor meeting, and it's supposed to start at 7 p.m., and at 7 p.m. only two people are there. Why punish them? They're the ones that are on time. Start on time. Welcome everybody. Get right into it. I know you'll be tempted to wait for some other people that might be getting out of their car, but if you do, they'll expect you to wait for them forever. And if you start on time and they walk in a couple of minutes late and they ever come back to your meeting, they'll be on time. So reward, always reward the people who show up on time by starting on time. It's also very important to hold these meetings regularly, so the real estate agents and brokers in the area can bring their home buyers or send their home buyers. Maybe bring someone that has no down payment that's a first-time home buyer and hook up with one of your investors. I almost get upset when people ask me to speak at their next seminar when they don't do or haven't done their homework. These investor seminars are going on all over the country, and I would guess that 98% of them are merely duplicating libraries. I'm not saying anything's wrong with the library. If that's what you want to be, go ahead and have these little meetings. Don't call them seminars. All they are is meetings. I'm saying that if all you want is information, go to the library. Don't waste my time. Now, that sounds a little harsh, but most people putting on these seminars around the country are really just holding meetings to disseminate information about the 203K. They continue to do so because it eventually gets them orders. But if they were ever to get an order in the room at the seminar, they would never be satisfied with anything less again. They'd never be satisfied with merely being an information center. I would rather be a deal facilitator and a deal maker, a place for deals to happen. I got a call from a major player in the 203K in Southern California. He asked me to come down and talk in front of 250 real estate agents and brokers for him. I told him I would be happy to do that for a fee, but they felt my fee was too high. So I pulled a Rush Limbaugh on them and restated exactly what he had asked me to do. And I said something like this: if I understand you correctly, you want me to jump in my car, drive 7 hours to Southern California, where I can rent a room at my expense for one night, talk to 250 real estate agents tomorrow on your behalf, drive another 7 hours home, and you want me to do all this for nothing? Because I look good, or because you're happy, or because you look good? There was a little silence on the phone, and then a comment like this: I didn't look at it like that, but my boss won't pay that fee. Then I turned around and I said, well, what if I did it absolutely free? What if I did drive down there and got my own room, all at my own risk, and all you have to do is give me $1,000 for each deal I put together in the room? That means that if I'm unable to get a commitment in the room, you owe me nothing. I thought this was a great deal for both of us. Their next question was, how many deals do you think you might put together in that room? My answer was, so 25 to 50. In a room with 250 people in it? 25 to 50. Another silence came over the phone. That's $25,000 to $50,000 for a two-hour seminar? I agreed, and then offered my regular speaking fee once more, and they declined. The fee at that time was only $1,000. Now I don't do it for less than $10. Our methods really do work. This lender turned down the opportunity to make 25 to 50 loans that day because they weren't willing to invest $1,000. I don't understand that logic. I would gladly pay $1,000 over and over again to get 25 to 50 deals that would net my company $3,000 to $5,000 a deal. The unseen advantage to having us help with your larger seminars like this is to see the mechanics of what we do up close and personal. You're right there. You watch us do it right in front of your clients and put deals together. Once we leave, you have everything you need to do it again. If you've got an area of the country that isn't producing loans like you'd like to, or a branch that or a team member that's not producing the number of loans that you want, give us a call. Let us put this together, and we'll show you how well we can do it. There's a secret of producing 25 to 50 deals, and I'm going to tell you what it is in this tape. You can produce 25 to 50 deals easily from a group of 250 people, but you'll never do it with a group of 250 real estate agents. Hey, there's nothing wrong with 250 real estate agents. We need them. But you can't put a deal together if you only have one component there. You're only a library. You're acting as a library when you have 250 people, all from the same business. And if that's your goal, more power to you. They'll leave there with information and they'll go out. And some of them are going to do the 203K and you'll get some work from it. Therefore, you'll think you're absolutely right. But you know what? There are lenders who put these informational meetings on all over the country. And since they keep getting that business, they keep doing it. I refuse to be a library, except when I teach appraisers, consultants, and lenders how not to be a library. I teach them about the 203K and networking. If my lender client in Southern California had agreed to pay me to talk to the 250 real estate agents and brokers, the first thing I would have done was ask that each and every one of them participate in an experiment. I want each one of them to bring a 203K property, or an investor, or a contractor that they know who buys fixers, maybe a home buyer that doesn't have a down payment. Do you think a real estate professional runs into buyers that don't have a down payment once in a while? What have I done? One thing I have done is set the stage for some real deal making. Another thing I've done is increase the size of the meeting to 350 to 500 people. The most important thing I've done is allowed all of the elements to be present in the same room at the same time in order to have the ability to pop some deals on the spot. Does anybody hear me? The information or library portion of our seminars are no different than any other of hundreds given across the country daily. The only difference is that we produce deals on the spot. The next time you go to a larger meeting on the 203K, invite us to come along. Don't worry about the $10,000 we charge because you'll write orders that day that cover those expenses easily. Why is this information on turning your meeting into a seminar important to you as our team member? If you were a lender and hosted a seminar, you would have liked to get some orders that very day, wouldn't you? If you're a consultant or an appraiser, wouldn't you like to get some jobs or that many jobs that day? 25 to 50 all in one day? Maybe not. You might have to work some long hours to get the work out. This is one reason I don't look at competitors like most people do. I only see associates that might help me out when I get busy. If you're a real estate professional, could you use some additional sales contacts? What if you net a dozen new investors that day? Investors buy over and over again. You also have the opportunity to pick up their listings, don't you? If you brought some properties for the 203K investors at the seminar, would you mind selling them? Would you mind writing contracts that day? I can't believe in some of my seminars, real estate professionals actually brought properties and no contracts to write the offers. Please bring some contracts to write the offers if you're going to bring the properties, because we produce, we have the buyers in the room. We'll tie you up. Now remember, If they haven't owned a home in 3 years or lost a home to divorce, they are first-time home buyers. Bring them to a Mike Young seminar and hook them up with one of our investors. It's a done deal. Why would a real estate professional bring a potential buyer knowing they don't have a down payment? Because the dynamics of the 203K will allow first-time home buyers to borrow the down payment from the investor. Our investors have all been schooled to assist first-time home buyers. It's to their advantage, too. Everybody wins. How many of you in real estate run across home buyers that have good jobs, good credit, but lack a savings account and a down payment? That's my favorite question of real estate professionals because their answer is always the same. And it's something like this. Oh, do you mean how many I had today or all of this week? This is a common occurrence, so common that every salesperson can relate to it. Turn those people into closed sales by bringing them to one of our seminars and hooking up with an investor who will loan part of the or all of the down payment to them if they're a first-time home buyer. If I were an investor and I came to this seminar, what would I expect to come away with? For one thing, as an investment, I'd like a property. For another thing, a buyer to assume a loan and get me out of it, release my profits. This is a fun and exciting way to do business, and it allows you to be part of a winning team of professionals in this business. You know, networking helps all of us do better and profit from our relationship. There's nothing wrong with that. There's no harm in that. Everybody wins. There are people out there that believe if someone profits from a deal that someone else must lose. With the 203K, that's not the case at all. If a city has an empty building with boarded up windows and an investor buys it, repairs it, and sells it to an owner-occupant, who loses? No one. The city now has a new tax-paying citizen. They have a home that's no longer a fire trap for the neighborhood. Usually has fresh paint, maybe a new roof. The neighbors are better off for sure. It's no longer a hangout for gang members. It's no longer a place for kids to get in trouble. The lender has a fresh loan on a property in good condition. Everybody wins with the 203K. Now, we've been looking at the 203K as a team sport. Because like all other sports, when the team is functioning properly, it's hard to beat. Everyone feels good, and it looks like there's no stopping us now. We are members of about 40 teams. That's 40 different teams. Many of these teams have a lot of the same members, so you can belong to more than one team at a time, and I recommend that you do. I'm an appraiser on some of those teams, a 203K consultant on some of the others. I'm yet an investor on a team or two, and I try to find properties that I can buy very cheap so that I can make a small profit selling them to other investors who do the 203K, escrow commitment procedure, and in some case they may keep them. If you have a team and one member isn't functioning at full capacity, do you throw him off and replace him? Well, I recommend that if you have a teammate, he might be running into some problems or she might have some problems, talk to them. See if you can't get the problems resolved. It's better to retrain someone that you've already been working with than it is to train somebody new. If not, then look for a replacement. Quite often, it's the team member marketing that's the best advertising, and it's usually free. You've got the rest of your team out there that's putting out your name and advertising for you, word of mouth, and that's the best advertising you can get. Action is the only ingredient missing from the information on all these tapes. And you have to provide that. Everything else is here. Without it, nothing happens, though. You need to make a commitment to do your first deal within the next 30 or 60 days. Haven't you wasted enough time already? Only you can make that decision for you. If you wait around, you'll be like the train that was on the right track but didn't move out, and another train came along and bumped him off the track. Someone once said it's better to have a dream and follow it, even if you fail, than to never have dreamed at all. This is a U.S. government-backed program for success. Give it a try, won't you? This is the end of 203K as a team sport. I thank you for listening. Please go to Investors and the 203K and continue.
Tune in every Sunday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time to BBS Radio, Station 1. and learn more about making home renovations possible, profitable, and hassle-free. Isn't it time you learned how to make money doing something you loved? Visit 203konline.com now, and let's get your home makeover projects done right.